Coming up next, why people resent their work and then the cost of Gen Z never working in an office. And then Fortune Magazine revealed the best companies to work for. We'll break it all down and coach you up as well. Here we go. All right, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. We're helping you win at work and in your life. We want you to make more money, but we also want you to experience more meaning in your work. Let's go. Let's dive into why people resent work so much. Boy, what an onion. I mean, I just laughed at my own pithiness here. We're going to try to uncover this in about 8 minutes. Okay, no. But let's dive into a new movement. It's called FIRE. Now, be careful what you look at on the internet as it relates to definitions, okay? You know what I mean? Like, really do your homework, 3 or 4 sources, credible sources. But we could go to Wikipedia for this one because it's a cultural thing. And so what is the FIRE movement? Some of you are going, Ken, have you lost sight of what the show is about? I'm not sure where you're going with the FIRE movement. This is not young 11, 12-year-old Ken Coleman who wanted to set fire to many things. I thought it was very fun to burn piles of leaves, wood, the whole nine yards. No. This stands for FIRE, being financial independence, retiring early. So I have financial independence so I can retire early. FIRE, financial independence, retiring early. So this is the goal for this these people in this movement, to save and invest aggressively 50 to 75% of your income and retire in your 30s and 40s. So you're starting to pick up on this. This is a younger movement, right? A lot of young people going, all right, if I can save and invest 50 to 75% of my income and I can retire with over $1 million or whatever, whatever in my 30s and 40s, woohoo! That's what I want to do. And I just want to retire, baby. What do you want to do? They don't know. They just don't want to work. Now, some of you are going, yeah, this is great, Ken. I mean, what's the point of this? I would submit to you that that is a misguided dream. I would suggest to you that it is an incomplete dream. Is it dumb? No. Is it financially smart? Yeah. Hey, I mean, who's going to look at saving 50 to 75% of your income? Now, you're going to have any life. You're not going to have a life. So I want to point out, if you're okay not having a life and living on next to nothing, again, nothing dumb about that at all. That is a very clear decision, and there is tremendous discipline associated with that decision. Great. I got no problem with that. But here's what's really behind the FIRE movement. These young people look at a lifetime of work. Okay, let's just say they work till their mid-60s. I don't know what they're thinking, but let's say it's at least that. They look at that and they go, oh my gosh, I can't imagine life like that. I gotta just live on nothing, essentially sacrifice to the point of a Spartan existence. But it's going to be okay, because by the time we reach 30 or 40, I don't have to work again. And I can just kind of chill and do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. That's the theory. Where's that come from? These young people have seen their parents and grandparents vetch and gripe and moan about work. That's where it's coming from. It's coming from their seeing a lot of unhappiness, a lack of joy associated with work. That's where this is coming from. And so when that happens, they start to go, there's got to be a better way. I don't want to act like mom or dad or grandma and grandpa. I don't want that life. I don't want the financial pressure that I feel like I see my parents or grandparents under. It's the environment that they're in. So credit to them. They're going, I don't want that. And I applaud. Young people, you're paying attention. This is great. You don't want that. But you've gone too far. I would suggest to you that the problem is an overreaction. They desire to retire early because work sucks. And because work sucks, my life will suck until I retire. Now, let's play that out. The problem with that thinking is that, let's say they make that happen, and let's say they're 35 years of age. Let's fast forward the story here because it's doable. Kids start working at 22 and investing and saving and a good earning job. At 35, they walk away. Now what? I don't know if any of you have ever had any friends retire early. I did. I have. I've had several friends retire in their late 30s, early 40s. And let me tell you something. They lasted about 2 to 3 years, and then they were back to work. Not because they blew their money. They didn't blow their money. They got plenty of it. They took a down season, right? They traveled. They did a lot of fun things. They tried some things. And before you know it, they were like, you know what? I got another idea. I got something I'm passionate about. I want to go do it. And they came back to a different form of work, but they did. If you're new to this show, you may have never heard me say, you were created to work. You are created to fill a unique role in your work. You are needed. You must do it. Isn't it interesting that we don't have to teach ourselves? Nobody ever sits us down and reads a little children's book or has a lesson for us in the second or third grade and says, you need to start wondering about what you want to do with your life. Nobody does that. Nobody teaches that. Where does that come from? It comes from our spirit, our soul. There's a longing that we all have to make a difference in this world. The way I sum it up is that we have relational purpose and professional purpose, right? So whatever your relationships are, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a dad, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend, I'm a coworker. Okay? So I have relational purpose in any relationship that I have. There's purpose there. In our professional lives, we tend to think there's no purpose, and yet we all long for it. But we've seen a world of work where it's just like, well, I go do this, I slog through the week, and I do it to pay for all these things and have a little bit of leftover for some fun. So this young generation is going, screw that. I'm going to work really, really hard and cash out early and then coast. But you won't. The solution isn't fire financial independence and retire early. The solution would be, I love the financial independence, but keep on working. Doing work you love. So that you work, as we talk about in the seven stages in the book From Paycheck to Purpose, we work in those final stages when we get to the dream job. We are now working not for money, but we are working for meaning. In other words, we are leaving a legacy. We are contributing to the world something that we have a unique combination of our talent, our passion, our mission, what we do best, what we love to do, what results we want to create, and we give it away. And so we work not because we have to, we work because we want to. We are not working for money, although money comes with it. And oh, by the way, when you're working on purpose, talent, passion, mission, you're going to do better. So what's the solution? Figure out that unique role. How do you do that? Take the Get Clear Career Assessment. It's going to help you to identify what you do best, what work you love, what results you want to create with your work. Helps you with a purpose statement, then looks into the world at work and say, hey, I can do it there, 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 there. And then you go do it. KenColeman.com. Get clear assessment. Get it and move forward. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work. And sometimes that means leaving where you are to go to the next rung on the ladder that gets you ultimately climbing to where you want to be, or maybe stepping right into that dream job, or maybe it's starting the business you long to start. Whatever it is, we're here to help you win, get where you want to go. And one of the ways we do that is not just resources that we create, whether they be free or paid, or experts we bring into the show, keeping you up to date in the news, all of those things. But it's also partnering with organizations that can do some things I can't. And ZipRecruiter's one. They are the number one hiring site in the United States. They get it. Nobody wants to feel alone or frustrated in the job search. And no matter how hot the job market is, and it's really hot, you can feel alone. You can feel like you're frustrated all the time. It's a lot of extra work. Kind of takes the joy out of what's something we need to be doing. Hey, I need to be intentional. So let's add another tool to the tool belt that'll help you actually do this with very little effort. ZipRecruiter.com is the tool. They do much of the work for you. They send you jobs you can apply to with just one click. And they're pitching your profile constantly to employers who have jobs that match up with your profile, which only takes minutes to create. And the whole service is free because companies pay ZipRecruiter for talent. And I know you're talented and I want you to get connected. It's a no-brainer, no risk. It's all free. ZipRecruiter.com. Go ZipRecruiter.com. All right. Wow. Couple of interesting things to get to here. Let's do it in the news. By the way, sometimes I have to remember to hydrate. You know, it's allergy season. And sometimes I have to take some allergy aids. And they make me a little dry. And I become very aware that Joe is always listening. And if my lips smack because I'm a little dry, I got to get a little sip here.
No, I'm not that strong.
Oh, it's always good for a sound effect. Remember when we were kids? Hot July day, come inside. Grape Kool-Aid was my beverage of choice. And you'd have a sip of Grape Kool-Aid, and you always had to do the... It's a good sound. All right, here we go. First story. Gen Z may never work in an office, but at what cost? Story from Yahoo. A growing number of young employees who graduated during the pandemic or got a new job as offices were closing have never worked in an office. It's extraordinary. But think about it. Think about if you were coming out of college over the last 2 years. There's a good percentage of kids who have worked remote and remote only. So, we all heard the stats. We understand. Managing your time your way is a key reason that a lot of people want to work remotely. Gallup research tells us, beyond that, not having to commute, the flexibility to balance work and personal obligations and improve well-being are obviously popular reasons for remote work. However, research shows that there are drawbacks. Some surveys show that young remote workers, we're talking about Gen Z folks, okay? Some remote workers that are in Gen Z may feel unmoored. What a fancy word, right? It's like a ship that doesn't, it's not having anchor. It's just kind of bouncing around out there wherever the tide takes it. Unmoored and anxious. But I think that that word, the Wall Street Journal used that phrase. And I think that that's really good. Now, it's a word we don't hear much, but anchorless, right? There's no anchor. They don't feel a part of a community. That's what's going on behind that word unmoored. What they're saying is not only they feel anxious, and I would tell you, the reason I think they feel anxious is they don't feel a sense of, watch, belonging. See, we humans want to belong. We want to feel we're part of a club, a group, right? An affinity, you know? We just want to belong. You ever been to a Jimmy Buffett concert? Boy, those people. Parrotheads, they call themselves. Those people want to belong to that group. Grateful Dead. I'm thinking in the music. You know, like those people all look the same. They want to belong, right? We all want to be a part of something. And Gen Z is discovering that when I'm at home alone working, and even though I know I'm a part of something much bigger than me, I'm not experiencing that, seeing that. That's what unmoored is really talking about. All right, let's keep going. 69% of Gen Z persons surveyed said that they would like to work remotely at least half the time. However, half of respondents also reported an increase in anxiety and depression attributed to remote work. Researchers further believe that young workers may harm their personal and professional lives by missing out on traditional experiences related to in-person duties, such as learning from older colleagues, chatting with bosses, and settling into the office workday, or even just being face-to-face with others. This is from the Wall Street Journal. I mean, this is, folks, I mean, I don't even know why this is a news story. It's not like this is, I mean, this is so common sense, but this is the world we live in right now. this young group, listen to what Dr. Nishizaki said from California State University, Los Angeles. Boy, what a mouthful. This is the cohort, talking about Gen Z, with the least amount of person-to-person interaction while growing up. Think about it. And I'm guilty too. Okay? Smartphones. Nathan, you're our representative of the young dad with the young kids. Look, I'm not calling you out. But the fact of the matter is, if you take your wife to the restaurant and the kiddos, it's a lot easier to shove an iPad and an iPhone in their face. It just is. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. But we don't.
You don't. I know. You're very intentional. And that's good. Let me tell you why, Nathan. Because if you do what everybody else does, your kids are going to grow up with a real lack of interpersonal skills. That's what they're saying here. The researchers are going, they grow up and they don't have to have much human communication outside of mom or dad. And even that's limited. My dad used to say this a million times when I was growing up. Eyeballs on me. If I wasn't looking at him, he wouldn't finish the sentence. By the way, I still do that with my 16-year-old. Drives him nuts. I say, hey, look at me when I'm talking. I do. Hey, look at me. You know, I'm telling you, right? It matters. Here's the other side. I'm having some fun, but watch this. That's what they actually want. They've never done it, but if they want to work with coworkers, you know what that means? They want to look them in the eye. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be talked to. They want to be loved. Interesting, huh? Very interesting. Young workers are voicing concerns now on forming relationships with work colleagues and the ability to build a professional network. Guess what? It's really hard to build a professional network when you're sitting home in your pajama pants. There you go. All right, up next, Fortune just released its annual list of 100 best companies to work for. The 100 best companies to work for prioritized answers relating to employee well-being and places that foster cultures of inclusion, purpose, listening, caring, and empathy. Anybody else paying attention to that list? Huh? You paying attention? It's almost all relationship stuff, leaders. The data was collected by Great Place to Work, which evaluated over 870,000 confidential employee survey responses. Now, let me tell you something, folks. They say that data, you know, you get over 1,000 responses is a legitimate sample size. 870,000, and this is the key, confidential employee responses. This is legit. Here they are, top 10. Cisco, Hilton, Wegmans Food Markets, Salesforce, NVIDIA, I'm sure there's a way to say that. NVIDIA, I know, Alex, you smarty pants. NVIDIA was a joke I was leaning towards. Ever helpful, Alex. NVIDIA Corporation, Accenture, Rocket Companies, American Express, David Weekley Holmes, Capital One. 9 out of 10 would strongly endorse their company to friends and family. 9 out of 10 feel cared for. 4 out of 5 feel psychologically and emotionally healthy. 4 out of 5 look forward to coming to work. 4 out of 5 find meaning in their jobs. Wake up, leaders. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life so that you can make plenty of money but also experience tremendous meaning in your work, making that unique contribution that we all long to make. 844-747-2577 is the phone number, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, where Mustafa joins us on the line. Mustafa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help, sir?
I wanted to ask your opinion on where I am in life and what direction I should go in.
Okay. Go ahead. What's your question?
Well, that's it. I wanted your opinion on where I am in life. Am I ahead? Am I
No, I understand, but you got to tell me. So tell me where you are and where you think you should be, and I can dive in on that. So give me some more detail.
Let me see. I work in a machine shop. I've been working there for about 2 years, and I'm making about $18 an hour.
Okay.
What I want to do is, in the future, I want to make more money, but from the information I gathered, the machine shop industry will not allow me to make more than $50,000 a year, no matter how much experience I have.
Okay. All right. Good. That's a good start. Right.
Yes.
So you know, okay. Mm-hmm. I've essentially, I'm in a role right now where I am limited. So if I want to rise above that, I say, all right. Do I know where I ultimately want to be a profession, a path? If I don't, I've got to figure that out. If I do know what it is, then we go to the question of how does the experience and skills that you've acquired in the machine shop help you get there? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So where do you want to go? Do you know where you want to go? Or are you looking for ideas? Do you have some ideas and you're saying, I need to run these by Ken to see if I can pull these ideas off? Where do you stand today?
I want to be a manufacturing engineer in the future, but I don't know how I can make that possible.
Why? Meaning you don't know the path, or you think there's too many hurdles?
I don't know the path. Okay. I don't know the path. Like, I look at courses, schools, and I don't find anything about manufacturing engineer.
Okay. So do you know anybody that is a manufacturing engineer?
No, I don't.
Then where'd you come up with the idea or the title of manufacturing engineer? Where'd you hear about it?
Through the research I make online.
Okay. So it is an actual career track. It is a job. It is a profession.
Yes.
Okay. And what does it involve? Have you read about that?
It involves creating the process of manufacturing a product.
Okay, great. And when you read these jobs online, you read about them to be able to answer that question. What does it say that the general requirements are? What kind of skill set, what kind of education, what kind of experience does one need?
A lot of manufacturing experience, like running the machine, a lot of mechanical experience, a lot of knowledge about the different processes, materials, and whatnot.
Great. So that sounds like all hands-on experience stuff, correct?
Yes.
All right. Do you need an engineering degree? Is it required? I'm not asking you your opinion. I'm saying in the research and what you've looked at, have you been able to determine if that position requires a degree?
It does.
Okay. Do you have an engineering degree?
No, I don't.
All right. So now we're getting somewhere, right?
Okay.
Because Mustafa, there's no question in my mind that your machine shop experience and connections you've made or could make would allow you to go get some of that other experience, correct?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. But I mean, you can get there. But in order to get that engineering job, we got to have the engineering degree. So now we say, okay, if I'm going to stay in the Dallas, Texas area, what is the cheapest place to go get an engineering degree, right? State colleges, you know, are going to be cheaper than private colleges, is my point. Is there an engineering school? I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know if there's a trade school for that type of engineering. There may not be. Okay, but if I need a basic engineering degree, okay, then where in the state of Texas? Or I can go online too. I don't have to just do it in Dallas metropolitan area. I can do it online. So I say, okay, what is the absolute? Because here's what I'm trying to say, Mustafa, and this freaks some people out, but this is the truth. Nobody gives a crap where you got your degree. Am I right? Nobody. No. Nobody cares. So if I can get a degree from a state college for $20,000 versus a private school for $50,000, I'm making these numbers completely up to make a point, then I'm going to go get the state college degree for half. Understand?
I see.
So now we got to go, okay, where would I get the engineering degree? How much is that going to cost me? And based on my financial realities, how long is that going to take me? Because I don't want to go into debt for it. I'm going to cash flow it. Because the good news is, as a machinist right now, you are getting valuable experience, and it's possible that you could move up in another company where you can grow as a machinist. So you're looking to grow and advance as a machinist or any work related to machine work in the interim, meaning in the meantime, while we are getting the degree part-time, because you can't go full-time for engineering because you got to have a job, right?
Yes.
All right, so this is all doable. Do you see the path?
Yes, I do.
My man, you can do this. So your next step is research. What's the most cost-effective engineering degree? Any other questions on that?
That's where I get more confused. Is the more I do research, the more differences I see. But the more I look into it, the more these differences don't mean a lot. Like,
right.
That's very confusing to me.
Well, it shouldn't be confusing, actually. That should be clarifying. What you just said was a really clarifying statement. The more I do the research, the less there's difference in all these things. So if I get a mechanical engineering degree versus another engineering degree, but, you know, I'd probably go mechanical engineering would be my guess. But there's one other thing that I would tell you to do. You need to be very intentional to meet somebody or two or three who do mechanical engineering. And you get you, whether it's a friend of a friend of a friend, or you go online in some forum and you meet somebody who's a very successful mechanical engineering or actually not mechanical. What was the job you described it? What was it called?
Manufacturing engineer.
Yeah, sorry. That's who you need to get with. That's who you need to spend time with. You know why? Because they're going to give you some very real life advice and insight onto what your best path is. Because they're doing what you want to do. And so they may tell you some things that you'd never learn online. That is very important. And so then they can tell you, well, mechanical engineering is probably the best degree, or just a general engineering or whatever. I don't even know. I mean, you know what I mean? I have no idea. But here's what I know, Mustafa, all of the answers that you need to give you further clarity are in those areas that I just told you. So go do your homework. And folks, I mean, this is a valuable lesson for all of you. It doesn't matter what field you're in. It is really overwhelming. When we look at a mountaintop, and let's just take Mustafa's his story here. When we look at warehouse engineering, did I say that right? Was it warehouse? No, manufacturing. Gosh, I don't know what's wrong with my brain. I'm too busy trying to teach. I can't think. But manufacturing and engineering. So he knows what he wants to do. He knows what that professional pinnacle looks like. But I got to tell you, it's intimidating to just stare at that mountain and keep staring at that mountain. That's not good for anybody. So the advice I gave him is the advice I give you. Let's go talk to people who've climbed that mountain. Let's go talk to people who've been on top of that mountain, who are on top of that mountain. Let's go figure out the best way possible. There's probably 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10, 11 ways to the top of the mountain. And in finding all of the different ways up the mountain, here's what happens. We figure out the best way for us. Remember, my path up the mountain and what's best for me may not be the same path and best for you. But when we figure that out, we go, okay, this is doable. I know how to get there. So if I got to wait 3 years, I know I can do it, because I know that in the waiting, I'm saving money. I'm getting other experience. I'm doing what I need to do to be where I want to be. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
Check out our new Ramsey Call of the Day podcast. It'll give you a quick hit of advice about life and money in under 10 minutes. Listen to the Ramsey Call of the Day, wherever you listen to podcasts.